His best birthday is actually on the day that I was born again. So her birthday in August is the same day I became, well, I really came to understand grace. So we have a special connection there. But all the mothers, I didn't see Grandma Ned's face. I don't know if she's just tuning in. But all of you and aunties who have helped to take care of, children and our nieces and nephews. Whether you like it or not, mother is the source of life, and you have helped in that way. So I really want to thank God for all of you. Unfortunately, I lost my mother when I was 22, but a number of people have filled in for that, and my wife has taught me what it means to be the mother to our children. In the past weeks, I have been sharing with us on the Holy Spirit and in the life of the believer. I always like to approach this subject in a way that is useful and not just for us to run into the power of the Holy Spirit and doing ministry. Because, as I'll come to later on, a number of people have done ministry. But the fruits that should attract people to the fragrance of Christ were not there. And so we have a number of the picture I can paint for you is in Nigeria, my country. If you come to Edo State, you will see a number of projects. They are called abandoned buildings. They were started with great zeal and enthusiasm and with some of the best architects making all these drawings. And then they started building. At some point, funding ceased, us and all the money entered the back passage of the tortoise, and that was it. Nobody, and the building faded. When you see it now, it's the redneck lizard and all the creatures who have taken residence. So they are called abandoned projects. You can also have that in believers. Great start. Wonderful promises, wonderful ministry, but at some point they may become a byword, or sometimes we'll be spinning wheels saying, once upon a time I used to love the Lord, but that's not what God designed. The Lord designed that those of us who are in His Son, united with Him through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be fruitful from one level to the other and end like that, finish strong. Believe the Apostle Paul when he said, I am the least of the saints or the apostles. You better believe him. He said, to me, who is the least? He said, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle, a special messenger. But when he was talking to Timothy, he said, this is a trustworthy saying. Everybody should accept it. Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to save sinners, and I'm the greatest. So, the greatest of sinners, what was his end? What did he say? I have fought a good fight. I have kept it. I have been faithful. In some instances, he will say, I speak the truth in Christ and I'm not lying. The Holy Spirit bearing me witness. So, truly, brothers and sisters, I don't want any of you to be overwhelmed by the negative outcomes for prominent, so-called prominent people. Ravi Zacharias, the list goes on. That is not the norm. The norm is the life of the Apostle Paul and all of those, even back to Moses, to Joshua, and faithful men like Abraham. That is the norm of the Christian life. So the reason I have focused more on what the Holy Spirit does to make us effective and fruitful is because we have been flooded with a number of testimony or no preachings and teachings on the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated in us and in ministry, in serving and being the witness of the Lord. We will come to spiritual gift at some point because you do have to be able to function in where God has brought you. So if you continue to be patient with me, I want to make sure I drive in this lesson to make sure the foundation is solid. And this is not the first time you are knowing about the Holy Spirit, so I won't presume to say that this is a foundation that we're building. No, we just want to make sure the foundation remains firm, and then we can put any structure on it. So I want to offer a prayer. Could we just pray for a minute? Our Father, who truly is in heaven, hallowed be your name. We bless you, dear God, dear Father, the King of the whole universe. We do thank you for the love that has drawn us to you, the love that made you release your Son to be our Savior, our brother, the heir and the joint heir that we have become with him now, the one who brings all things to a conclusion, and who has graciously released that his Holy Spirit be with us, not just once, but forever, so that we can produce fruits that abide to the glory of your holy name. So help us this day to understand more of this great blessing in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. So I want to recap. I have shared some testimony with all of you of my own life. I never planned to know God. It wasn't on my agenda. But the Lord pursued me and brought me to his kingdom, and I'm grateful for that. And it's in keeping with the word of God. It is not my doing, lest anyone should boast. I can't boast, and I will never will. I talked to you about how I struggled earlier on in my walk in faith, trying to overcome sin, trying to love God, trying to read the Bible in my strength until I understood that was not God's intention. And once God made it clear, I discovered that truly the Holy Spirit operating in any one of us, as he should, allows us to respond to God. I shared with you that when that happened, the true knowledge of God, in a warm and worshipful manner became attractive to me. Affection for the things relating to God increased. Righteousness, holiness, love, and self-sacrifice became desirable, even if I wasn't perfectly in them. I had a desire to see God and Christ praised, honored, and lifted up. I still do. And at the adoration of our beautiful Christ and Savior. The control of the thought life and desire for purity. An increased desire to read the Word of God and understand it. And preaching the gospel boldly and seeking to reach people who do not know the Lord, Jews and Gentiles. And knowing what God had gifted me with to be able to contribute to the building of the church. And also knowing the companionship of the Holy Spirit. His continuous work to bring me to the place where I become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, showing me areas of wickedness, iniquity, and darkness, and offering me the cleansing that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who does the sprinkling of the blood. And that's why I always say to believers, refrain from that prayer, we sprinkle the blood. No, only the high priest could sprinkle the blood. And the other person who could sprinkle the blood in the Old Testament was Moses. So the Holy Spirit, according to Peter, is the one who does the sprinkling to cleanse. It's not something we sprinkle to protect our vehicles or our new homes. Please do not degrade the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of a lamb that was without blemish shed for us. Jesus' blood is not for protecting you on the road. There's enough protection for that. You understand? So desist from that habit of saying, I plead the blood of you. Stop. Please stop. Some of you say, what do you mean? Go and look at the Bible and tell me if you find one single example like that of Peter saying, "I plead the blood of Jesus on somebody's car, on somebody's home." It's not there. So move all those habits we learned, get them off. But there's a better, there's a better part of what the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit produces in us, just like a tree, what we call fruits. When the Holy Spirit operates in our lives, the gospel becomes real. Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. There is no way you can tell me a mango tree that is producing apples is a mango tree. This you can argue, but nothing will convince me. Same thing. There is no way you can tell me a child of God is unkind. Today, next year, the day after, something is wrong. Are you hearing me? A tree is known by its fruit. That's what Jesus told us. And we must learn to take the Lord Jesus seriously. Every tree is known by its fruit. Move away from anyone whose fruits do not correspond with Christ-likeness. It doesn't matter how sweet-tongued they are. It doesn't matter how much miracles they perform. You already know that. And do not keep, don't be happy if the fruits of the law of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, are not increasing in your life. Don't make an excuse. Go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, please, I cannot be the exception. You've done it for others. Why me? Please go ahead. When Aniola was reading, he talked about when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to forego our lives, our own agenda, deny it, take up the cross, and follow the Lord. The Holy Spirit makes that possible. So today, I want to talk about a circumcised heart to love God and walk in His ways. A heart that has been circumcised to love God and walk in His ways. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It actually might be the first thing we should teach our children and young disciples. That might be the first thing. Because physically, on the eighth day of the life of a Jewish boy, he is circumcised. You say, oh, that child is too, that the pain. No. On the eighth day, they are circumcised. So the first thing maybe we should teach every new believer and our children, definitely, is a circumcised heart. I'm going to ask Sister Folake Adeleke to read for me. I'm going to make you my sidekick for today. Can you read?
Yes, I can.
Ah, you're doing like a Jamaican DJ. It's echoing. So, okay. Talk again so I can hear you.
I can.
Okay, good. All right. Okay. So what I want to do, I'm going to talk, make some scriptures. You know, when I think you need to drink some water, I'll choose another person. Okay. So what I want us to do, the Apostle Paul talks about our heritage in Philippians chapter 3. Can we go to the book of Philippians, the letter of Saint Paul to the Philippians? And I want Brother Bumi to be watching the chat. If for any reason you need me to say again what I just said, or I'm too fast, please go on the chat and say, Brother Lodger, could you slow down? Can you say again what you just said? Please, please do. If there is something that you need me to repeat, go on the chat and Brother Bumi, could you monitor the chat, because I won't be seeing it. If I see you raise your hand, I know there's a question in the chat. So okay. Please, brethren, feel free. Don't let this be, you just listening to me, but you have questions, you're not asking it. You already know me, so you don't feel free, please. If I've said something too fast and you need me to slow down, Say, Brother Roger, can you just say that again one more time? Okay. So let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Okay, so Sister Folake, start reading from verse 1. You're going to read Philippians and give everybody a chance to quickly get there, as well as myself. Chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3 and listen to what the Apostle Paul says. I want you to read the first four verses.
Okay. So Philippians 3. Whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you joy. I
Are you
never
reading
get
chapter
tired of
three?
telling you this.
Are you reading chapter three? Philippians chapter three, verse
Philippians.
one.
Oh, from verse 3. Okay, sorry.
From
I
verse
was
one. No,
reading verse.
Philippians chapter three from verse one.
Yes, I'm
You are.
reading.
Okay, good. You are reading a
Okay.
different version. Okay, good. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I'm reading from, I think this is NLT.
That's good. Go on.
Okay. So Philippians 3 from verse 1. Whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you joy. I never get tired of telling you this. I'm telling you this for your own good. Watch out for those dogs whose wicked, those wicked men and their evil deeds. Those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Yet I could have confidence in myself if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Should
That's
I
good.
stop there?
That's enough.
Okay.
That's enough. Thank you. All right. So, the Apostle Paul, who is Jewish, he's saying something. He said, responding to people who had come to the Philippians to say, you need to be circumcised to be a child of Abraham, to be truly saved. He said, no, actually, we are the ones who are spiritually circumcised. Do you know where he got that? He got it from Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read it to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, something happened. The Moses was talking to the children of Israel in chapters 28 and 29. He talked about the fact that they are going to have two options: blessing if they hearken to the God's voice, or curses, hardship, if they disobey God. But that many things will happen to them which have happened, including the Holocaust. He said, but a time is coming. In spite of all of that, the Lord will have mercy on you. He will return you to himself. This is what he says. Verse 1. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 30 from verse 1. When all these things come upon you, the blessings and curses I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all the nations to which the Lord has banished you, when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey his voice with all your heart, with all your soul, according to everything I'm giving you today, then he will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, and gather you from all the nations to which the Lord your God has scattered you. Even if you had been banished to the farthest horizon, he will gather you and return you from there. Look at this verse. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land your fathers possessed. You will take possession of it. He will cause you to prosper and multiply more than your fathers. Verse 6. You should underline that and make sure you teach it as a memory verse to you and to your children. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants. And the result will be you will love him with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. So when the Apostle Paul is writing to these Philippians, he knows what he's talking about. Moses knew that God had to do something in the heart of the people. He called them a stiff-necked people, always erring. Have you had a chance to follow? Do you have a GPS that tracks your heart, your thoughts? You would discover that the natural human being always is bent towards evil. With all your good intentions, our children already know. In fact, they are tired of having to explain and excuse themselves. It frustrates them. It frustrates you. It was something that the saint of God, David, recognized. David recognized that when he cried to God, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." David understood the power of God. He had killed Goliath, had many victories, but David still could not conquer lust. He had access to as many women as he wanted. God said you could at that time. But he could not take his eye away from the wife of one of his loyal soldiers. And when Nathan came to him, David broke down. But I'm sure he did more than that. He must have wondered, but what is the root of this? What is this? I, a king, with all the gold, with all the silver, I could get any woman. Why am I stuck on the wife of a soldier who is faithful to me? Why did I have to kill him? It's the same thing with all of us. So when you look at this, there are great men. We're talking about Ravi Zacharias, and I feel compassion for him and those who is gone, but I feel a lot of compassion. But not condoning what he, like others, have done. So how can these people with such knowledge, with such influence, be this? Foundation. Foundation. We cannot overestimate foundation. What is the foundation? God's work is to circumcise the hearts of those who trust in him. The Lord was never expecting that, you know, Brother Kunle would just, you know, be able to love God with all his heart from the day he was born. If that was possible, you would not be a sinner. You would need salvation. So why would God now suddenly expect you, born in sin, soaked in it, now be able to love him, keep the greatest commandment? It won't be fair. He made a provision. And that provision, we are not emphasizing. What is that? So I want to talk a little bit more about it today. Time will not allow me to say all that I want to say, but I will share some materials with you later on. So, Sister Folake, you want to go now to Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7? So write all of these down, and I'll be more than happy to send my notes to you. My notes, I still write like doctor, so they will not be complete statements. You will just have to make do. So Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7.
There's one quick question on the chat.
Yeah, I saw it. Okay, let's read it for me.
What is the alternative to praying using the phrase "covered by the blood" or "see the blood" in order to unlearn some of these habits?
So the thing is that when you look through the New Testament, do you ever see a prayer like that? No. The Lord Jesus taught us, he says, when you pray, pray like this. So I know what people are trying to say. They are looking for protection. Jesus taught us what to say. Deliver us from the evil. Lead us not into temptation. He taught us. We are already partaking of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not something we're going to do tomorrow. We've already been saved. So can I ask Buki to quickly read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So she says, let's quickly go look at that. So Falaka, coming back to you, hold on yet, you read that, hold on with that. But let's just ask Falaka to, I mean, Buki to read 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at what he says about the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus.
What verse?
Read 1 to 3.
1 Peter chapter 1.
Yes, 1 to 3.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are exiles, elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling of his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father.
That's enough. That's enough. So if you follow that order, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the blood of all of the sacrifices, are presented to God to whom we have offended. It is useful for him to pass over us. When he does, God himself is our protector. So when you are no longer in enmity with God, he protects you. So what we need to be calling people to is to the shed blood, which speaks of redemption and forgiveness. Once they are reconciled with God, all the things that pertain to God's children pertains to them. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround those who are his. So in fact, actually, you don't need to be praying to God to cover you. You become his, he covers you. So that's what we've been, so I hope you get it. I hope you get the point. So when we say we are covered in the, we are covered in the blood of Jesus, it's a done deal. But it is because that blood before the Lord has taken care of what was between us and God, and we are now reconciled with God. Anytime you are reconciled with God, all that God has is yours. And God's responsibility, it is to protect what it is. I'm not the one in charge of providing locks for your house, because I don't own your house. You provide the lock and all the security system for your own house. God does the security for all that belong to him. You understand? All right. Okay. Let's go now. My sidekick, you ready? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this circumcision. Taking away of a heart that will not listen to God, that will not walk in God's ways, for having a heart that actually does the will of God. Okay, go on, Sister Folake, write for us.
Okay. Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them hearts that will recognize me as the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly.
Good. Let's stop there. So the reason we say Jesus fulfilled the word of God for us. Can mute for now. The reason we ask the Lord we say Jesus fulfilled everything is that all of this talk that the children of Israel were always looking for, he fulfilled it. This is why he said to them, on that great day, if anyone believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And the comment in there says, this he was talking in reference to the Holy Spirit, that those who believe in him will receive, which happened after he'd been glorified. So if the Holy Spirit is given to believers, what will flow from their lives? Living water, as opposed to dead, life-consuming water. Does it make sense to us? Is it making sense? No, I don't see a lot of heads nodding. Is it making sense to us? Sister Biola, I didn't hear you. Is this making sense? Where are you?
It's
making sense?
It is.
Is Annika there with you?
Yes, she is.
Is it making sense to you? Lady Annika, is it making sense to you?
Yes, it is.
All right, okay. Where is Derek? Is Derek on the line? Brother Bumi, is Derek here today with us?
I think.
Okay. Where is Bishola Adeleke Esquire? Is he there today?
He is.
Where is he? Is it making sense to you?
Yeah, it's making sense, yeah.
Because what I'm saying is that for you right now to be able to love God, God has to do surgery in your heart to remove anything that makes it impossible for you to love him fully. That's God's work. He does that. So it's like when you have somebody whose artery, the arteries that supply blood to the heart are blocked, what do the surgeons do? They go there, remove it, and they clear it up. God is better at that. In fact, that was what, let me tell you, my brethren, I don't know about you, but when I realized how sinful I was so depressed. Because I didn't know that I was that sinful. I did not know. When I realized the depth of my wickedness, it overwhelmed me. First, I started saying, I'm going to work harder. After a week, I was discouraged because the harder I worked, the more I fell. So the day I realized that what God does is to remove that stony heart and give me a heart that is fleshly and then write his laws on it. This is the good news. Come, brethren, this is the good news. I see Brother Wally smiling. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. This is the good news. The good news is that God has the ability to compel me, that I want to use that word, to make Brother Peter love to be faithful. Oh, it gladdened me to know. Sister Folaka, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's go to chapter 36. We've got more to read. Let's go there. This is where it becomes sweet. In fact, let's go to Ezekiel. Let's stay on Ezekiel for a while. Let's go to an earlier chapter. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 19. Are you all right in this? I will send you a link. So, Sister Folake, read for us Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19.
Okay. Ezekiel 11, 19.
Yes.
And I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their hearts of stone and give them tender hearts instead, so they will obey my laws and regulations. Then they will truly be my people, and I will be their God.
Thank you. Stop. Let me read verse 20 to you in the what version am I reading now? Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I think it's international version. It said, so that they may follow my statutes, keep my ordinances and practice them. When I read them, I said, why didn't they tell me this from day one? Why did somebody tell me this? Why didn't you tell me day one? You see, the Lord said, when they return, they will remove all the detestable things and all his abominations, and I will give them a singleness, a focused heart, and put a spirit within them. Of course, you know, I put a willingness, a volitional act from their will. I will remove the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may follow my statutes and keep and practice them. You remember the, was it Archimedes, the Greek scientist who was in a bathtub and suddenly realized something? I jumped out shouting, "Eureka, Eureka, Eureka, I found it." That's what it became to me. Let's share this with our children. And say, "Eniola, let me, so you don't, I don't, I, what I expect from you is only what God is capable of doing through you. God will give you a heart that longs for him, that allows you to want to do his will. Just as people want to do what is wrong, you always just want to do what is right." The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, "Just as you once yielded your members as tools of unrighteousness, now you have become a slave of righteousness." So you can submit your members as tools for righteousness. This is why the Lord said to his disciples, "You will wait until the Holy Spirit is, you are endued with the ability to do with the Holy Spirit who comes from heaven." It is good news. It is good news. The Lord has given us his Spirit so that we can be fruitful, so we can bear the image of the Lord Jesus, so that we can show the principalities and powers that Jesus is Lord. Why would the Lord leave his church in the midst of a wicked system of cosmic powers, spiritual wickedness, and wickedness here on earth if he thought they will overpower us? Who does that? Who makes such investment? Who is going to put gold in your mailbox and it's open, and the mailbox is open and they are hiding your gold there? Who does that? Why would God put his church, his saints, in the midst of a wicked world, superintended, whose district superintendent is the evil one, the chief of liars, the father of lies, and think that we will triumph over them? It has to mean that he has given us a superior weapon. Is it making sense? Brother Conley, I see you are thinking like a philosopher. Is it making sense? Does it make sense?
Yes. It is. Yes.
It was some, it blew my mind. It blew my mind. All right. Sister Jackie, where are you? Sister Jackie? Why are some of you having this disappearing act? Where is Sister Jackie? You're there? Okay. I can't see you. Sister Biola? Okay, take over. You're going to read from... So let's go to chapter 36 of Ezekiel. Okay. So... this is called the restoration of Israel. And it is also a very useful reminder. If God did this for his people, that's what he does for all his people. That's what he does for the body of Christ. Later on, we will see in the epistles, the Apostle Paul saying, because you are this, you cannot do this. It's impossible. So, can you start from verse 22, Sister B? Can you start from verse... So, everybody go to chapter 36 of Ezekiel, and let's start from verse 22.
Okay. Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Mm-hmm. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in all my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations.
Let's stop there. Thank you. Let's stop there. I see somebody has a hand raised with a phone number 60706. Is that a question? Brother Mick, can you tell me what that means?
Sister, I think it might be Sister Success. Would you ask a question?
Praise the Lord.
Nah.
What you said that we should not plead the blood of Jesus. I'm not very convinced about that. And I want to say, what about in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. And the Bible also says that our warfares are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. What are the warfares of the Christians? What are the instruments of the warfares? For me, or what I know, or what I've studied a long time now, it says one is the word of God, that's answering with the word of God. Two, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. I'll just mention only these three. So if the Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 11, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. Is it not the saints that overcame the devil with the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony? And if they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony, how do you apply the blood of Jesus Christ? Or how does that work? If you're not used to pleading the blood of Jesus Christ and you are faced with a challenge in your dream, what will you use to respond?
The
word of God.
Hold on. So let's take one question one at a time. Sorry. Okay. So I get you. So let me ask you a question. The blood of Jesus that was shed, was it to appease the devil or to appease God? When Jesus shed his blood, who needed to be satisfied, the devil or God?
God.
Okay. So I did not say we should not plead the blood of Jesus. That's not what I meant. I said you cannot be pleading the blood of Jesus over things like security, buying a new house, buying a new car. What it means to overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus is this. In Hebrews, we're told that the blood of Abel was crying out for vengeance, but the blood of Jesus called for something better. The blood of Jesus appeals to God. So that when they say we overcome by the blood of Jesus, it means in the sight of God, no accusation can be brought before us. Are you understanding me, Sister Success?
I understand.
So your spiritual warfare is not only what you say, but it's where you stand. To be able to overcome the devil, you have to be standing in the right place. So in the Acts of the Apostles, the seven sons of Sceva, they went and said, in the name of Jesus that Paul is preaching, and the demons said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. I don't know who you are. So when we Our spiritual warfare is not in our words alone. More important is where we stand. It is by the blood of Jesus that you stand before God with no accusation that can stand. So when they say by the word of our testimony, what is our word, the testimony? That Jesus has died and has reconciled us by his blood to the Father. It is not by saying, I plead the blood of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. That's not what it means. It is by standing on that truth. So the saints overcome by this, the word of life which they were asked to preach. They continue to preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news, making disciples of every nation. And he said, when you do this, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And also they are stand before God, they are forgiven, they are cleansed, there's no more accusation. So the devil has no accusation to bring before them, because in the presence of God, they have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Then the third thing, they did not cling to their lives in order to save it. They were willing to die for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the three things. So, and I'm going to tell you again now, it is not by you saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. No way is before the Father that the blood of Jesus is pled. And that's why Jesus remains today a constant reminder to God that the price has been paid. You don't owe the devil, none of us owe the devil anything. Jesus did not die to appease the devil. So let's be careful when we are confronting spiritual powers. We are not appeasing them. We are telling them that they are illegal, because the Lord Jesus is King. So this is what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to give you an assignment. It's a success. You have my phone number. Go through the rest of the New Testament. Tell me which of the saints in the Bible prays that way. Can you find an example of Paul, Peter, and the rest praying the way you were just telling me about? So I'll leave it there. So I will continue. So I give you that assignment. I'm not saying that the blood of Jesus does not account for us. No, you cannot plead the blood of Jesus on your car, on your journey. That's not what it's for. There, God has already brought you as his treasured possession. He will take care of us. That's what we call bad prayer habits. It's not our words that conquer. It is where we are. All right. Okay. I hope that helps you a little bit, but I give you an assignment. I want you to go from Matthew to Revelation and find out which of the saints in the Bible will say, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'm glad. Thank you for answering the question. But I also like the fact that you were able to refer to some scriptures. And Brother Bumi, follow up on that. Okay. Any other question? Thank you all. I'm glad you have taken it. You are taking me on my word. I like it. And don't forget, none of us knows everything. So everything I say to you, you got to go check the word of God. You have to go check the word of God. But I have seen some bad praying habits that just need to go. They really need to go. And sometimes they actually reflect unbelief. They reflect anxiety and fear. Most of us really think that we have to be in a shouting match. This is not Sister Success, but in most of the churches I've been to, they really think we have to be in a shouting match with the devil. No. The saints who actually knew God, they don't talk much. When Jesus appeared before some people were possessed, he had not said anything. As soon as they saw him, they started begging him to please leave us alone. If that same Jesus lives in us, how is it that we will be in the midst of witches and wizards? They are not the ones running. Why should I be the one running? You know, I once worked in an office. And they said to me that there were people who believe in witches. And I said, well, I'm here, a child of God. They will eventually leave. I'm not saying I'm going to drive them out, but they will not be able to stay. And they did. Not because I'm a lodger. It's because the one who dwells in me is greater than who dwells in the world. Who dwells in the world. They became uncomfortable and left the agency. That's just the truth. So we should recognize who we are. So when Folake goes to the hospital to work, you may not see, but the powers that be, they see you. They see what you don't see. So you're going to need the prayer of Elijah, who said, Lord, you got to open, I think it was Elijah, open his eyes. These dark forces can see what we don't see. That around us is the glory of God that just makes them quick. Brother Peter.
Fimila has a question. I think you need to break down the words, some of the words that you use, so you can understand.
Yeah, I was asking, when you're explaining that, cover us with the blood of Jesus or something, you're saying that it's somewhere where we stand. What do you mean by that?
Okay, good. That's a good thing. So, so in your house, don't put him in your house. Who are you in your house? You are your parents' son, right? That's who you are. Unmute him. I want him to talk. Hey, unmute him. Yeah. That's who you are in your house, right? Mm-hmm. If you invite your friend to come and play with you, what will be their stand? What will be they in relation to your parents? They will be the friend of their son, right? So where we stand means who are we before God? So you, as a child of God, you are one that the Lord has brought to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. So you are like the brother of Jesus. You are the brother of Jesus. So you and Jesus, you share the same thing. That's what it means, what where we stand. So before God, if you are a believer, like your dad, like you, like, you know, everybody listening now, before God, we are like co-prince with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus owns, we own. And the reason that happened is because Jesus was able to remove the barrier, you know, the something that separated us from God. So he's reconciled us now to God. He's made us the friends of God. So when we appear before God, God says, that's my child. So like when you go home and say, Mom, what's for dinner? Your friend cannot come to your house and say, what's for dinner? He doesn't have that right. You do. So that's what we mean by where we stand. In other words, who are we when we are in the presence of God? I like that question. Did you understand what I just said?
Yeah, I get it. Brother,
do you understand it now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brother Peter and Sister Kike, drive the answer home much better. Use better example than I could come up with. That's the best I could come up with for now. Any other question for me? I'm glad because, you know, we are together. This is a fellowship that we are brethren. So I don't need to have to finish any program because I rather that it's helpful to us. And I would really want all of us to go and study the book of Hebrews, because there, the reason that we need to read the book of Hebrews along with the book of Leviticus, so you can understand what a sacrifice is, what cleansing is, what sprinkling is. Please, take some time. And I know that both our sisters, Kike and Kemi, I know you are with a young group. So please, make sure they have all of this well explained to them.
And Sister Shadia.
Oh, okay. All right. So please take these questions. In fact, you should ask them, do they understand some of the jargons we use? Because we use a lot of jargons. Do our children really understand the jargons that we use? When we say born again, do they know what that means? When we say filled with the Holy Spirit, do they know what that means? When we say personal, when they say quiet time, what is that? So if we can try and break it down, that would be really good. And let's keep to the word of God. So, you know, I'm grateful for the work that you are all doing, especially, you know, trying to get your children and our young ones, including those in college, to know these terms that we use. So thank you all. Any other, Bumi, is there any other question in the chat?
No, we can go on.
Okay. How many more minutes would you all be willing to give me? Just tell me how many. I'm okay.
Well,
unlimited.
How many?
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Okay. I take that word very seriously. Okay. All right. So let's go back to that Ezekiel passage, right? So let's be there. Okay. That passage says this. For I will, in verse 24, which our sister Biola read for us, for I will take you out of the nations. This is the Lord talking to Israel that had gone into exile because of the idolatry. It is painful to know that Solomon, who God came to and said, Solomon, what do you want me to give you? Solomon said, give me wisdom. You know the story. And God said, I'm going to give you wisdom that nobody on earth will be able to rival. Okay. Solomon ended up doing all the things that God said he should not do. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, what a king must not do. He must not multiply wives, he did. Must not multiply chariots, he did. And when God said you cannot marry the children of Moab, Ammonite, he did all of that. And the Bible says they turned his heart away from God. Solomon, who built a majestic temple for God, built temples for moon gods, for Molech, for all kinds of gods that are no gods, breaking the very first two commandments, Solomon. So later on, God tore the kingdom from him, divided it, and then the what you read from then on is a catalog of sinful kings who were addicted to idolatry. And God sent the children of Israel away from the land. That temple that was as majestic as anything was desecrated by Babylon. They came and took away everything. It was the goblet that the king for whom Daniel read the handwriting, they were using all of those things to drink in Babylon. What should have been used for the worship of the great king? So in their exile, going up and down, God made a prophecy of deliverance. He said, the time is coming. I will take you back from all of those places. But God bringing them to the land of Israel would not solve it. There's something wrong. Their heart is not right. He said, so this is what I'm going to do. I will gather you. I will sprinkle clean water. Now you see who is doing the sprinkling? God said, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from your idols. I will, the Almighty, Elohim, El Shaddai, the Lord, will give you a new heart. A new one, not renovating the old one, a new one. I put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will circumcise you, basically. I will then put my spirit, I'll give you a new spirit, but I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God said, I will do that. In John chapter 15, Kemi, read for me, please. John chapter 15. The Lord started to talk about what it means to be truly his disciples. Can you read from verse 5? No, read actually from verse 1 all the way to verse 8. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. Okay, thank you.
John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned.
Yes.
If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Wonderful. It's called spiritual fruitfulness. You know, usually when people say to us, what should I do to be a fruitful Christian? We say, read the Bible, pray, and witness. We usually say those things. The first thing will be to come here, right? And say, you need to learn how to abide in the Lord Jesus. You need to learn how to remain in him. And the Bible answers, this is how we know he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. So for anybody to be fruitful in loving God, loving your neighbor, being able to not follow lustful thoughts, being able to produce fruits of kindness, faithfulness, goodness, patience, long-suffering, the branch has to remain in the tree. So discipleship actually involves helping people to learn how to abide in the Lord, how to stay connected to your source. And yes, the reading of the Word of God will come in, the praying will come in, and all of the things that we are moved, therefore, to use as what they call the implements of grace, or the tools of grace, or the means of grace. But this is the route to fruitfulness, to being able to actually be like a Christian. So if Darren wants to live a life that is pleasing to God, what's Folake going to tell her? This is it. You have to abide in the Lord. This is it. Abide in the Lord. And that's what you're going to work with her on. Many of us have read books. We've watched movies about hell. We've watched movies about heaven. And it has now moved us 2 inches closer to being Christ-like. Can I say, let us stop striving? Let us stop struggling. So let's pray, every one of us. We just say, Lord, I want to stop. I'm no longer going to struggle. But instead, I yield to you that your Spirit, who has already circumcised my heart, will help me to abide in you and make me fruitful. I trust you will do this because you are faithful and good. through our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's continue to trust the Lord. The days in which we live are difficult. People are falling left, right, and center. Now, it doesn't surprise any of you to hear a couple you used to know are getting divorced. Almost you don't, it's no longer anything strange, right? Now, does it surprise you if you find out suddenly that somebody whose books you've read, who we used to reverence, which we should not, but somebody that we respected, is falling? It no longer shakes us. For our politicians, we almost have no, there's no point. We assume this is who they are. But there is a remnant of faith. There are people who are faithful to God, who will be faithful to the very end. And we can be those. Some people, in a bid to try and make up for the failings, have a false front. Say prayer meetings and the rest, they're speaking in tongues and all of that. Do that let people know. Do it in your closet. Then people will see it when you're out. Jesus said to us, when you want to pray, go into your closet. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So in order to make up for some of those failings, people try to project something that is not real. Write books and say he's an acknowledged speaker all over, all over the world. He's spoken there, is that. What is that? All that really you should say. What I would like to say, Brother Bumi, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sister Shade Adeleke, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Detola, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sister Elizabeth, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is not enough, nothing will be enough. It won't matter how many places I've spoken, how many awards I've got, and all of that. It's not going to matter. So in closing, I want to encourage us. He who has begun a good work in us, he is able to complete it to the very end. So, Sister Folake, let's go back and finish that Philippians we were reading. Let's conclude with the book of Philippians. Let's conclude with the life of the Apostle Paul. Let's see what he says. So, I think you read up to verse 3. So read now Philippians chapter 3 from verse 4. And we're going to end in verse 15. So, let's go there. Thank you. Sister Folake. Yeah.
Okay, so Philippians 3 from verse 4. Philippians 3 from verse 4. Yet I could have confidence in myself, if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. For I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin. So I am a real Jew, if there ever was one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And I'm zealous. Yes, in fact, I harshly persecuted the church. And I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully that I was never accused of any fault. I once thought of all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working today toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which Christ, through Jesus Christ, is calling us up to heaven. I hope of all you who are mature Christians, we agree on these things. If you disagree on one point, I believe Christ will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already.
Thank you. All right. So that is the conclusion. We are pressing forward to the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ. And we trust that by His Holy Spirit, the same one who made it possible for Peter, who had denied the Lord three times, even when there was no sword, you know, to his neck, was able to say to the very end, he persisted, received all the persecution, and went into glory. And all of these others, like John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And we have the examples of believers in the northern part of Nigeria, in Pakistan, in India, in North Korea, in China, in Saudi Arabia, in Iran, in Iraq, in Egypt, a cloud of witnesses to tell us, persist, remain in the Lord. The Lord will accomplish his purposes and bring us into his eternal kingdom. Thank you. I'm going to ask Brother Peter to, you know, Brother Peter, you already prayed for people who had birthdays, right? Okay. Brother Detola, holy brother, pray for us.
What a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we worship. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings illumination and it brings light. Thank you for all we've heard today. Thank you, Lord, because you do not do things by mistake. And we pray that all we've heard today, Father, it will be a testament for our lives, a testament for our hope of glory. We thank you for Brother Loja also that shared all this riches and treasures of your word. We pray, Lord, that he will be held up till that day, that nothing he has said will count against him on that day, O Lord. We pray for the church, that every family that comprises of the New Covenant Church will come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also thank you, O God, for who you truly are. You made us for your pleasure. You created us in your likeness for your pleasure. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, the Ancient of Days. We thank you, our God, our buckler, our strength. Thank you for the mercy, the grace that you make available to every one of us daily. So we thank you, O God, even as we go into this next week. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank the Lord for his work this morning. In closing, Sister Kemi will be leading us in the with closing in.
Come thou fount of every blessing. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of
the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Holy, your goodness and mercy
shall follow us all the days of
our life.
Dwell in the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.